Hey folks, it is Sunday night, October 30th, 2016. You're listening to the AIH Superfans podcast. I don't know what number we are because I don't pay attention to that shit. I am one of your pals. My name is Alan. On Twitter, you can find me at Slip with five eyes or Slip.
Yo, this is Poppy, Big Poppy Peg City.
This is Brian at Brian from AIH.
And this is Ryan. Yeah, DJ Biff.
Yeah.
That's what, DJ underscore Biff.
Making his super fans debut.
Yes. Finally got the invite.
Yeah, it happened. We, our other Ryan, I guess he's taking a little, what, Jets hiatus? I don't even know what the, I don't even know what the deal is there.
He's officially lost all hope.
Yeah, he's a little touchy on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess so. It was because of what, the constant starting of Stu and Thorburn that put him over the edge, or what?
Pretty I think much. People started comparing the Buffalo trade as well, the Armia deal, and I don't know. I guess he just got upset about that. I'm not sure, but he's pretty angry.
This is episode 45, by the way. That's now that I've looked it up. So we did a little mini cast this past week to talk after the Dallas win. And I have not spoken since then. So on the agenda for today, our full episode, we'll talk about the game today and maybe a little bit about the game that was on Friday. And then we haven't talked about the Heritage Classic yet. So we'll do some Heritage Classic talk. And then I kind of want to poll everybody around the room about some just some early season kind of, you know, narratives about the Jets and what we think is real, what we think is not real, what we think we need to wait and see on. So and ask the super fans. So a fun show for everybody, but not so fun. Today's game, a 3-1 loss to the Buffalo Sabres. A pretty flat game overall. I don't know. I know a couple of you on this call did not see the game, particularly the two guys who are regulars on this show who aren't me.
I actually heard the game up until the Okposo goal, the first goal. So
I followed on Twitter when I could.
I caught two periods.
Okay, I saw the whole game. It wasn't good. So. The Jets.
That somebody saw it.
Yeah, the Jets had a couple of like flashes of decency, but ultimately were really really flat. I did appreciate the immediate narrative in the first, like, you know, 10 minutes. Oh, these afternoon games, that's why they came out flat. And I was just wanted to say, like, you know that two teams are playing in the afternoon game, right?
And you know Buffalo played last night.
So
and they, without, that they played yesterday.
And they're without two of their top six.
Yeah, so really not much of an excuse there. Hutch, three goals on him by the middle of the second period. He got pulled, and they put Hellebuck in. Ultimately, Ehlers ended up with one goal, so the Jets at least scored. But a 3-1 loss, and that puts them at 4-5 for the season now. There was also a... what was the game? Or no, I guess there was a win on Friday, right? They beat Colorado. Yeah,
they beat Colorado 1-0.
Yeah.
Pretty good game.
It was a good game, right? So
yeah, considering it was a second half of a back-to-back too, right? So
I guess we'll balance it out and we'll talk about both games. Did everybody see the game on Friday?
Yep.
No, I was I had a soccer game.
All right, soccer.
Yes.
What the hell is that? Live in the States. Is that a sport?
Surprisingly.
I guess the big takeaway that I got from the Friday game was that Joel Armia is quickly becoming everybody's third-line darling.
He's been good all year, so I don't know about becoming, but he's been pretty good all year. Like he shouldn't have sat that one game that he sat for Thorburn.
He should be on the top line, right? Instead of Laine.
Yeah, that's what everybody's been saying, right?
No, he's been really good. I mean, you can't deny that. He's been great. Like,
he's good defensively. He's good in the neutral zone. He comes up with a lot of turnover. Like, he creates a lot of turnovers, and he's pretty good at the takeaway. And you know what? He has been passing very well too, and finding a severely open Sean Matthias on a regular basis, right? Oh, yeah. But if he had anybody with finish on that line with him, he'd, you know, probably be up there in league lead for assists. But he was great. Like, I mean, it bodes well for when we're healthy up front, totally. But yeah, he's been really good, you know. But he's kind of the latest co-celeb, right? Like he's the most celebrated cause right now, right? Everybody's trumpeting his wares, anyways. But
well, we got back into this Evander Kane trade narrative, right?
Of course we did.
Because this guy is now doing something. And I mean, it's a small sample size, but I will admit too, he's been really, really good. I think I tweeted that he was spectacular on Friday. That assist that he, you know, the play that he did before dishing it across to Matthias, who actually ended up potting one in that game, was really good. I mean, what can you say about the trade? And I mean, I guess we'll talk about it a little bit because they played the Sabres today, though there was no Kane. There was no Myers. There was no Stafford. Not a lot of guys from this trade, but is it now they're starting to use the term lopsided to discuss Chevy's quote unquote win in this trade? Is it fair to conclude that at this point?
Yeah, it's a win. Yeah, for sure, it's a win. So we traded away three assets and gained. And gained how many? Five? To like on paper.
Well, if you count Stafford, I guess, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, Stafford was a rental, right?
If you consider him an asset.
Well, and you know what? And you could literally say that we traded away Kasdorf for him too, right?
True.
Because he literally was the rental. He was a rental. He was supposed to be a rental, right? But you know us. We signed him long term. We gave him a 2-year contract after, but and then you have the prospects, Lemieux and Armia,
and Ross and the well, yeah, and then
and Roslovic was a draft pick, right? So obviously on an asset level, they won for sure. And then when you look at the games played by Myers compared, just if you compare the two, Myers and Stafford. Well, I'd take Stafford out of there, but I mean, if you compare games played by, you know, Bogosian and Kane too,
right?
Now that Armia is a regular in the lineup, you can't help but say it's a win.
Yeah. I think if Lemieux and Roslovic end up being as good as they're projecting to be, like Roslovic looks amazing so far with the Moose, and if those two guys end up being what they're projected to be, then I think it's an easy win for the Jets, you know, like even if Kane does score 20-25 goals again, you know, like you got a lot out of that trade. I think Myers for Bogosian, yeah, Bogosian's always had a problem staying healthy, right? So mm-hmm. His games played every year goes down and down and down, and you know, outside of last year at the end of the year when Myers was hurt there, he's been pretty, you know, pretty good staying in the lineup. So mm-hmm. It's still a little early, like a couple of those assets are still on their way, but so far so good. I'd say, yeah.
I mean, there's not a heck of a lot of hope at this point if you're if you are someone out there who might still be an Evander Kane fan. I mean, I just can't be anymore after all the stuff that that he's done. But when he's not getting into trouble, I mean, the big thing with the dude is he can't stay healthy. Right. And I mean, yeah, I guess some of it's because of how he plays the game, but who gives a fuck at some point? Like, this is what, the fourth stretch of time in his career, maybe the fifth, where he's missed significant time?
Yeah.
I mean, in the end...
First game of the year, too, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, like, at some point, I'm sorry, but you're injury-prone, and you might have the talent,
but
if you...
Most of them seem to be injury-prone.
Yeah, if you can't play, though, then you can't play. You're not of any use.
He's been injured every year, though, right?
Yeah, he was injured last year for a long stretch. He's, you know, he was out with a long-term injury when he got traded by the Jets. Not just his ego, but physically. and he's had injuries before that, too. He just can't stay healthy. And who knows what Buffalo's going to do with him eventually, right? I think they'd love to get anything back for him at this point.
Well, there was talk they were trying to get rid of him, right? Like, before the season started, I think they were talking about that, but...
Yeah, they were.
Send him to Vancouver.
I mean, the problem at this point is that, at least when the Jets had him, you had some on-ice performance to point to, right? Some, even, like, recently, what does Buffalo have? Like, they can be like, well, look what he's done over the last year and a half. It's like, well, what has he done?
Not much.
Cost me... like $100.
Like, I don't know what he was on pace for, like, last year before he got hurt.
It was under 30, because if he had been 30, I would have won my bet. I think he ended up pacing at about, like, on pace for a 25-goal season, which, again, I'm good with, like, oh, well, here's what he would projected to be if he's healthy. But it's like, well, he didn't do it because he wasn't healthy. Right. So what help is he really? Like, you can't – it's frustrating, but, you know, it's Buffalo's problem, I guess. So anyways, I guess, I mean, I like Armia's play. I didn't think he was all that bad last year, but he's certainly also stepping it up. Like, I kind of saw Moore as just like a plug guy, and he's certainly doing, better than that. I haven't seen Roslovic play with the Moose yet, but I've heard great things, and I'm, you know, even if Roslovic ends up just being a great cog for the Moose, which I think he'll end up being more than that, but...
I think they got eyes on him taking Little's spot, you know, in a couple of years for sure. Like, Little's got, what, 2 years left on his deal? I don't know.
So, any other, I mean, well, let's go back to last weekend before we talk about the Jets kind of going forward. So, we didn't talk about Heritage Classic weekend on the show yet, but... some of us were there. Ryan, you went to the Sunday game.
Sunday game, yeah.
The real game.
The real game, exactly.
I went to both games. And so what did we have? We had a alumni win. The old Jets beat the old Oilers. I think the score was 6-5. I think it was 6-5. I don't know what you guys thought. In a clearly, like, scripted game.
Yeah, that had to be written, right?
Like, they had to have an agreement beforehand. Like, I understand that the game, a lot of the gameplay is real, but they must have had an agreement. Hey, you know, let's give us a lead, and then, you know, Oilers, you can turn it up for a little bit, and then we'll keep it close and see what happens.
You guys are too, you're too cynical.
Oh, come on. Fucking Timo Solani getting tripped and sprawling out on his stomach with, what, 10 seconds left in the game for the penalty shot? Please.
Absolutely.
Please.
Serendipitous. Serendipitous.
So, from the alumni game, I mean, is Timo Solani the most popular Jet ever? Like, more than Howardchuk?
I think with the demographic, right? Like with I mean, you look at, there's a big cross section. Like Howardchuk would play to like the over 40 crowd, right?
Right.
The over 40 crowd that was young, you know, a kid growing up and up into your teenage years when Howardchuk played his last game. But Solani's kind of that cusp that, you know. The 30 to 40 crowd would know him because, you know, he started off there, and then all the kids growing up as well, like the kids that were, you know, younger kids between the ages of 5 and 10 when he came into the league. Right. So that's the big demographic that you see in at games right now, or that's supporting the Jets right now. The guys that really didn't have the Jets all their lives when they left and came back, and that's their glowing memory. And, you know, and he was gone for a year and a half before they left too, right? So it's kind of, he's our last superstar. But a lot of the demographic remembers him as being the guy, right?
Well, I mean, our last superstar was Keith Tkachuk. He scored 50 goals in the season that they, before they left.
Yeah, he was a douche.
How come he wasn't in the game?
He's a little,
he's a little lawless.
He would have had to count as two roster spots by,
Yeah, he hasn't been... He hasn't been able to skate since he swallowed Walt.
my favorite tweet of the whole during the whole alumni game was somebody tweeted Nail Yakupov ended up playing more games for the Oilers than Solani played for the Jets.
That's an incredible stat.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that
wasn't Kane pretty close with the Jets too?
What's that?
Wasn't yeah, he would have Kane's been. Games played pretty close too?
Oh, I'm sure.
He would have been.
I'll check right now.
I mean,
it was such a short time span that Solani was with the Jets, but like, it was just so incredible that it's just, you know, in everybody's heads, you know, like I was around for that. Well, it was awesome. When you think of the old Jets, you think of Solani, but he was here for such a brief amount of time. Like when you think about it.
Well, and even in that, like it was four seasons that he was with the Jets. Well, three and a half. The first season he set the record and everybody never forgets that, obviously. The second season, he got hurt, right? He got a skate across his...
He had his Achilles.
Achilles. And so he was out for a long period of time. The third season, they had the lockout or the strike or whatever it was. So they only played half a year. And then the last season, he got traded.
Mid-season.
Mid-season. For Tevardovsky and Chad Kilger. So and that was it. It was so short. Whereas again, Howardchuk was there for the whole 80s, basically.
Yeah,
for sure. That was before my time, though. So I connect to Solani for sure a bit more. Solani, Housley, Numanen. Those guys were like in my era. So you
know. You're not that young, are you?
Early 30s.
Oh, fuck.
I also love seeing all, you know, at the stadium, all the old Jets jerseys. My favorites being people wearing the 90s jersey with Howardchuk's name, and I'm like, well, he never wore that one. And then Solani on the 80s one, and I'm like, he never wore that one either.
I saw an Igor Ulanov jersey, a picture of an Ulanov jersey, and that was that was as awful as it was back then.
The other retro stuff that they've done, you know, one thing that we didn't talk about after the first game, they brought back Jump as the goal song, which is...
And Benny.
Yeah, and then they brought back Benny at the Classic. Has he been at the games?
Like, he lives out of town, apparently, and he just kind of flew in to be Benny for the weekend, which is cool.
Benny's not a real person.
Well, a moose, I guess.
It's a guy in a costume.
Oh, yeah.
You mean the guy that plays Benny?
Yeah, like,
what is there only one guy? They're like,
yeah, apparently he flew in just to be Benny for the weekend.
Did he get to keep the Benny costume too?
No, I thought True North bought that. I heard Lawless say something on 1290 about how somebody contacted True North when the Jets came back that they had the Benny costume, and then they were trying to like give it back to them so they could use it or whatever. But I guess maybe they did grab it, thinking maybe one day they would use it, but Lawless said something about that on 1290 for sure.
My favorite Benny trick was he would scale the bench like on the boards before the game, and then he would crotch himself. It was like the thing that he would do. Like he would fall with his like, you know, legs on each side of the bench and kind of crotch himself on it every game.
Like, I was like, kind of gags and stuff, right?
Yeah, I was like, go Benny, you're such a ham. I thought when he came back that we were gonna have Benny and the Stuffed Moose as our two mascots, but
I don't think the moose should be our mascot anyways, but that's a different story.
Yeah.
No, you don't like the Stuffed Moose?
He's a moose.
Now with no goatee.
So they did all that retro stuff and it was fine. Like it was fun. People enjoyed themselves. I thought it was great. And then the next day, we got the real game. That was a little different. 2 hour delay because it was so nice outside, which is funny in Winnipeg. And
too sunny.
I didn't get the sense that anybody minded. Like people were having a good time in the stadium, and
all the concourse was just hopping, man.
Oh, it was fucking packed. That stadium is hideous to get around.
It's brutal.
Like, it's great. It's great seating. It looks nice, but holy shit. Like, in terms of maneuvering, it was awful.
Yeah.
Is that the first time? That's not the first time you've been to the stadium, is it?
Me?
Yeah.
That was the second and third time. I went to a Bombers preseason game, which the concourse isn't going to be nearly the same for.
It's always
that was
like
my
that.
First time.
Yeah, it's always like that in between. And the funny thing is when they're touting that stadium, it was supposed to be that you could, you know, mull about, be on the concourse during the game and everything, but
Yeah, no.
It's not very good. I know for the Grey Cup, we were at a standstill in the south end zone there, on the concourse behind the south end zone, trying to get to our seats in the south end zone, and we were caught there for a good 10 minutes, not moving at all. Like, shoulder to shoulder, like, packed in like sardines, and my wife is a little claustrophobic, and she was freaking out and screaming at people. It was
the same way on Sunday, for sure.
It was awful. Yeah. Like, I actually went down into the seats and just kind of walked there just so I could get a couple of sections over, because it was so bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It's super bad.
Yeah, especially right near the middle. It's just, yeah, it's stinky.
And then when people are all in the concessions and stuff like that, it gets even worse because, you know, it gets crowded around the concessions, right?
Yeah.
Solani played 9 more games than Kane.
Oh, well, there you go. speaking of stinky, the game on Sunday was not good. 3-0 win for the Oilers. The Jets just never seemed to get anything going. I mean, certainly Talbot helped the Oilers, right?
But I thought they had a good first period. Like, I mean, they played with a lot of speed. They had more. They outchanced the Oilers in the first period for sure. I think it was just a couple of glaring mistakes in the second that were really bad.
Well, there was a Buff turnover, right? There was a Liney turnover that led to another goal.
Well, the Buff turnover was immediately followed by the Connor turnover and the Liney turnover right after that. But it was all in the second, right?
Yeah,
it was. One more in the second.
So the stadium was very quiet. And probably with about like 5 or 6 minutes left, people started pouring out, which I was just, you know, you've got the whole spotlight of the league on you guys. Like, we're supposed to be the most passionate, loudest, best fans. But sure doesn't happen.
I would be lying if I said I didn't leave early.
Only
a couple minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, just so we hopped on a bus. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind. I mean, I used to give people shit for leaving early. Now I'm just like, whatever. But I just, it was no playoffs against Anaheim, right?
No. Games. By the time we got to the bottom there, like, we were in the upper deck. By the time we got down, the game was over anyway. But yeah, it was a lot of people heading for the exits early.
Yeah. And so it was a pretty flat game. And ultimately, as Jets fans, I think the weekend's going to be memorable for
Saturday.
Saturday. They did this like top 20 outdoor game moments thing during the game. I would assume that when they run that whole thing again next year, this game isn't going to make the list anywhere, right?
I think the Solani shootouts might be in there.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
It was great. But the actual game itself, there weren't...
All the Sunday game, yeah, absolutely nothing, no.
Yeah, there were no highlights from that game other than it happened. Right?
And Gretzky looked like he just had to be, like, he was there because he had to be there. He wasn't really very good in there.
I wonder how many shifts he took, maybe 5?
He looked very disinterested, and he left before they took the picture, too.
That was weird. Yeah, that was weird that he took off. I think he said after too, like, he doesn't think he's going to do that anymore, like, play these games.
Yeah, he said that's probably the last one. He hadn't skated in like a year or two.
And people were like, he's no good anymore. And it's like, fuck off. Yeah. Like,
of course. Well, he's a little busy keeping his daughter off the pole and his son-in-law off the slopes, you know. So, you know, he's kind of preoccupied. Anyways.
Yeah, so good at all. Happy, you went to some, you didn't go to the games, but there were some other things happening around the weekend, right?
Well, we had a thing on Thursday. So that was kind of cool. It was cool to meet Scott Campbell. Like, the story is, you know, Scott was part of the alumni thing, and you got the invite from Chipper to be part of this whole alumni thing, and the way that they, hearing the stories of how Chipman has been waiting for a chance to get the old
Winnipeg Jets family in with the new one and kind of have a big splash to do it. And the Heritage Classic was his opportunity to kind of combine all of the Winnipeg professional hockey, like the whole WHA 1.0 and the new team, and have them under one umbrella. So when you hear that, it's kind of cool how they did that. And now moving forward, they can have official alumni events and appreciate the alumni the way that they've wanted to from the beginning, and just never found a way to connect the three phases of this professional hockey in Winnipeg. But anyways, it was Scott Campbell's first time back really since he got traded to the St. Louis Blues, and he approached us and we wanted to do a thing, and then we ended up being combined with another event that Morris Lukowich and Ab McDonald and Dave Ellett, Laurie Bach. Who's using the can? Who's that using the can?
Not me.
Not me.
I moved the bag, that's all.
By the way, before you go on, Morris Lukowich, who could fucking move still, he was like fast in the alumni game.
He's in shape, but he apparently keeps in shape all year long, and he plays very competitive squash in Calgary, and he's in really good shape. He is one of the quicker guys on the ice, hey?
Yes, like, he was, very much so.
But he's not that much older than Gretzky and Howardchuk, right? He was a new WHA player, like one of the younger guys when they won that last championship, right? So
also of course, moving in the game, also moving pretty well, to my shock, was Mike Eagles.
he was one of the quicker forwards.
Like, what the hell's going on here? And then Chris King got a goal. Maybe he got two, didn't he?
He got two. He got the game tying goal too on that sweet feed from Solani. But I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Eagles has been like kind of going hard for the last couple months. He found out the game.
He's been in the gym every day.
That's great. So how was the event?
It was okay. We didn't know anything about it other than we had 80 tickets to distribute or whatever it was, and Scott kind of invited who he wanted to be there. And then what ended up happening is we were really tight with tickets and had everything accounted for, and then the organizers didn't really have it run the same way, so they were oversold. And not only that, if you guys are familiar with the pint, there's two levels. And it kind of made the upper level a VIP section, and that's where all the action was. So, you know.
So the bottom was you could be in the basement of the place where the Jets were?
Yeah. And they were, a lot of people were upset because they were told, they were like, as far as we knew, there was access to everything. But you know what? It worked out in the end, I guess. But, you know, meeting – I only cared about meeting Scott and having a chat with him. Got to see his WHA championship ring, and you know, he's cool. He's a great guy. Like I can guarantee you that most guys that are on Twitter about the Jets have interacted with Scott at one point in time. He's been the most interactive alumni on Twitter by far, and he's every bit as cool as you'd imagine him to be, if not more. So
I would have liked to have met him. I found Jets hats, a bin of them on sale at a kind of a discount sporting place here. It was the 90s style. They were blowing them out for $3 a piece.
Yeah.
And so he wrote me on Twitter at one point and was like, dude, where'd you get those hats? So kind of directed him there. But that's my only personal interaction other than stuff in, you know, kind of in general out in front of everybody. But certainly that would be like the one person that I would have been interested in meeting.
Well, the thing is, when I started my Twitter account just basically to keep up with everything with the Jets just before the 2011 season started. And very early on, you know, I got a notification that Scott Campbell's following you. And I'm like, Scott Campbell? Can't be. And I look, and it's the Scott Campbell. And I had to tweet about, are you really Scott Campbell? And it was him. So it was cool. It's cool. We've kind of had this Twitter relationship since then, and, you know, we're back and forth. And, you know, he's promised to come on this podcast after he does, you know, the podcast that Mitch has for Winnipeg Hockey Talks, but he hasn't done that one yet. So,
Brian, do you know what all this stuff is? Like when we say WHA and
a little, not much. A lot of these, a lot of the players are just names, but
you don't know the backstory of the WHA?
Not much.
It's kind of call it the USFL of the hockey. Are you familiar with the USFL? Or?
Oh yeah.
There's a rebel league and a bunch of towns that Edmonton and Winnipeg were inaugural members, so we're the Quebec Nordique.
The New England Whalers.
New England Whalers, yes.
There was actually there was a team in Cincinnati called the Cincinnati Stingers, and when I went,
and there was the Cleveland Crusaders.
And when I went to the game in Columbus a couple of weeks ago, a dude had a Stingers Messier jersey on.
That's wicked. Yeah, that's wicked.
I actually bought a Blu-ray about the WHA. It was produced by, there's a World Hockey Association Hall of Fame. It's in like northern Minnesota. And so I bought this DVD, and it's totally one of those cheap, like if you go to some like low rent museum where they'll just play the video on loop over and over again. That's what
this video is. It's just screen all day because nobody hits play.
Yeah. And they have like, they have people talking. One of the guys who, like, the experts who they have on talking about this thing is like a fan. And he's sitting on his couch. The production of it would make you think that they recorded this like 30 years ago, except it's only like 5 years old.
So does this fan, does he track Jets flights too? Or?
No. No, he didn't track. He's like, back in those days, we couldn't track flights. Technology's come a long way. But they, like the WHA, there was some legitimate talent in the WHA, and the Jets had a very, very good team. They, in terms of overall hockey, the WHA also had a lot of teams that folded, a lot of teams that didn't do very well. But the Jets, I always thought, like, they beat the Russians when the Russians came through on one of their tours. I don't think that they played any exhibition against NHL. I know some teams did. But I think that, from what I gather, those Jets teams, they would have beaten, you know, in the time that the NHL had about 18 teams, they would have beaten probably half of them.
No, they would have been a competitive NHL team.
They wouldn't have beaten those Canadiens teams, though, right?
No. But, you know, they would have competed in the later 70s, too.
Yeah, I guess so, right? I mean,
you look at,
like, the Canadiens, the Bruins, the Rangers, like, these teams that were great in the late 70s, maybe. But, they probably would have fit in. And then what happened was when they got moved to the NHL, all these WHA teams got raided.
Yeah, they could only protect two skaters. And the rest of the players were dispersed. They had a dispersal draft for them.
And they were given the lowest draft picks in the draft that year. It was awful. Like, way to start things off super shitty, right? It's like, yeah, we'll let you into the NHL, then we're going to punish you.
What a contrast to now, hey?
Yeah.
Well, they want,
like,
yeah.
The expansion draft coming, you know? Like, they're trying to make that team competitive from the go. You know?
And they are, and that's what their major goal is, because they know that if this team's not competitive within the first 3 years, that they might lose interest because of what's happened in the, you know, warmer market since they've expanded, right? But there, no other expansion team has been afforded this type of start ever. Like, it's crazy the amount that they get. And there was another thing that came out too. What was that thing about the expansion drafts? Someone tweeted
the RFAs,
something.
The UFAs.
Oh yeah, with regard to it had something to do with Trouba, right?
Yeah. Well, they have a certain amount of time that they can negotiate a contract with RFAs as well, right? Is that it?
Yeah, like there's a 48-hour period where anybody that's unsigned they can negotiate with, and then I think what happens is if they sign the RFA, then that team will not lose a player in the expansion draft.
That's right. Yeah.
And they don't have to give anything up in compensation to the team that they sign away that RFA from.
So
something that's ridiculous to me.
So in that case, what that would technically mean is, if the Jets had the intention of protecting four defensemen and they didn't have Trouba signed, there's no point in protecting him at that point, because even if they choose to protect him, if he's an RFA, he could be signed away.
I think if he's protected, they can't, another team can't sign him.
So that's the thing. They'd have to protect the asset for sure.
Right.
So, but just because he's not signed and he's an RFA and he hasn't, like, just because he hasn't been signed, they can negotiate with him. And because it's the Las Vegas team, they wouldn't have to, compensate the Jets for signing him. They wouldn't even have to offer sheet him. Like they wouldn't have a chance to reply
He's a UFA.
Yeah.
Essentially, they just sign him to whatever contract they want, and the only difference is now they don't have to pluck another. They can't pluck another player off the Jets roster.
Right, and that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's absolutely crazy.
It's
going to be really interesting.
Another question that came up, I'll jump a little ahead for a second here, but as an Ask the Superfans question, can Las Vegas win the lottery? They haven't really established what they're going to do with the draft lottery in Las Vegas, right?
I think they have. True. I don't know what their odds are. I haven't read too much about it, but I don't think they have the best odds, do they?
I thought they did, but it was like tied with the team that finishes last.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're not guaranteed the first overall, I know that.
They're guaranteed top four.
Top four.
I'm just opening up. How will the 2017 draft lottery work? This is off of Sportsnet, and it's an article that was posted in June.
The Board of Governors approved the plan of expansion.
Oh, that's
bring
my computer.
A national
Sorry,
hockey
you guys
league
can't
franchise
hear that.
To Las Vegas.
Right now, Gary Bettman is talking on my... Okay, I just paused it. All right, so it says, the Las Vegas franchise will be given the same odds in the 2017 draft lottery as the team finishing with the third fewest points during the 2016-17 regular season. This means it will choose no lower than sixth in the first round. Las Vegas will then select third in each subsequent round of the draft unless there is a trade.
Really?
Yep.
So third in every round, so it's not like they... Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Well,
it's absolutely crazy what they're well.
They've done. I mean, that's what they did with other teams. Remember when San Jose was?
No, it's not. Is it?
When San Jose was the expansion team, that was the Lindros year, and they were going to give them the first pick, but said because it's Lindros, they'd have to do the second pick, and that's how they got Pat Falloon.
Yeah, great second pick, Pat Falloon.
But but typically, no expansion teams usually get good draft position.
Even in the subsequent rounds, too? So you're saying San Jose had the second pick in each round after that?
Well, I'll tell you right now. Well, I know in the second round they did because they picked, what's his name that was Floon's line mate? The guy that was Ray Whitney. So, yeah, I'm putting in 1990 NHL draft. It might have been the 91 draft. Hold on here. No, this is riveting radio for everybody listening. 1990 was not the one. The 91 draft.
91, Eric Lindros. Pat Falloon.
So then San Jose got the first overall pick in every round after that.
Wow.
They just flipped it in the first round because it was Lindros.
But the biggest thing is the expansion draft, that they have way more to choose from because the teams can't protect what they've been able to protect in past expansion drafts, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot fewer options for teams to protect. The Sharks in the first expansion, or when they did that expansion, got to raid the North Stars roster. It was like a special deal, yeah, because their ownership group was people from Minnesota. I forget what the exact arrangement was, but they were able to raid some people from the North Stars to fill their lineup in.
Really?
Yeah. I know, right? Crazy times. By the way, I used to do fucking 12 rounds in the draft.
Well, was it Enstrom, like 8th round or 9th round?
This one was a 12-round draft. I mean, there were only 22 teams at the time, but anyways, So I want to ask you guys a couple of quick things about the season so far, just to get some opinions about where things are headed with the Jets. We are now 9 games into the season, and so it's time to start wondering if some things that have played out so far are the real deal or not the real deal. So we'll start with some probably easier ones. Patrick Laine, is this goal-scoring thing the real deal? Is he on pace for 30-plus?
To the moose.
Especially after the last 2 games, Laine should be sent down, yes. Yeah. Him and Kyle Connor.
He's a real deal. I don't think there's any denying that. Like, how can you say otherwise now? Like,
what was Ovi's quote? Ovi thinks that he might even score 50
or 60. Yeah. It's interesting they play each other. Was that Tuesday?
Tuesday.
That should be a good game.
Yeah.
And Thursday.
That's right. Back to back. He's got 6 goals so far in 9 games. One game he had 2 goals, and one game he had 3. Right. So. My next question for you is about Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor should be on the moose or no?
If they play him top 9 minutes like they have been, then there's no reason to sign him to the moose, I don't think.
You can get I'm kind of on the fence. I don't know.
Yeah, I am too. I want to see him get first line minutes with the moose, but also top 9 minutes on the Jets. So either way.
I can't help but compare him to Nick Petan last year, you know? Like, I think Petan had a better preseason than Connor did, but I feel they both kind of started off slow here out of the gate, and they obviously sent Petan down, so I'm not sure what they're thinking with Connor at all.
They played Connor a lot more than they played Petan.
For sure though. They did, yeah. Well, they buried Petan on the fourth line, right? Like, they're giving Connor all the opportunity to score goals and, you know, be offensive, for sure.
Well, he's still icing less than 10 minutes a game, though, right?
No, he's averaged 13. So far.
Well, his first game back, he had 9. How many minutes did he have on Friday?
I don't know. I'd have to go and look at that individual game. And I'm lazy. I'm just looking at an overall page right now.
Well,
but they're giving him power play time, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely not fourth line, but he's, you know, he's still... I mean, they're not giving him a ton of power play time because they need Adam Lowry out there to stand in front of the net and then do nothing.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right.
And every chance they get, any of the Jets broadcast team lauds what he's doing in front of the net and totally all over it. Like, whatever.
Here's another question. I know that everybody wants to see Mark Stewart and Chris Thorburn sitting in the press box. Do we want Burmistroff up there with them?
At this point in time?
Yeah.
Well, if they bring up a center, yeah. It's time to see Kopp in there. But
yep.
I would make that switch Kopp for Mistov right now, for sure.
You know,
like, are we done with this guy?
Mistov?
Yeah, he fucked up again today, right? Like, I don't know if you saw that what led to one of the goals that Buffalo scored, but... You know, he comes up to the blue line and he's, you know, they've got the bench saying to him, like, dump the puck in. And he tries to carry it over and there starts a turnover combined with a bad line change. And Buffalo scores. But it's like, he's, you know, it's funny because when he scores a goal, it's usually very pretty. It just never happens. Otherwise, it's terrible. He's not a bad player, but, like, you know, offensively.
When's the last goal that he scored?
Well, not this year.
On that breakaway when he got out of the penalty box last year?
In Toronto, I saw that goal.
Yeah, that was the last goal he scored, right? Or the last goal that I can remember him scoring. But you know,
he also did look good last year at the end of the year.
Yeah, with Deneau.
Yeah. Was it Deneau and Perreault was he with?
And Perreault.
Yeah.
But we're playing with who he's with. Like, yeah, okay. You know how he likes to carry it in and whatever. It depends on who you're playing with. Like, when you're playing with a fourth line, why would you want to carry it in? That's not your job as a fourth line. Dump it in, grind it out, and have some tough minutes in there, right? But you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'd much rather see – like it's like Blake Wheeler coming up the wing. I'd much rather see him skate hard, gain entry into the zone and then pass it back or find somebody on the back end. But you know what? He's always going to dump it in. Like Burmistroff is the opposite of that. You know, I'd much rather have instill some of that in some of the guys that are entering the zone with speed. But I don't know.
When I watch him, I don't know what it is. Like, maybe it's just me, but I feel like I'm still watching like a very young player. And then, you know, you realize that this is what, his seventh professional season?
He's 25. Seventh year. Yeah.
Like he's a veteran almost, right?
Yeah, he is what he is. And you know what? It's time to bring the other guys up.
I think so too. Would he get claimed on waivers, do you think?
Probably. No. Yeah, you don't think he would be?
I don't think so.
That's a tough one.
I mean, the salary's right. If somebody needs a center, 1.5. Right? Yeah, it's nothing.
He's cheap. Like he was worth it. He was worth the money that they signed him.
Like, I mean, yeah, to no find out with it, that contract at all.
No, not at all. Like,
I think that there's got to be a team or two out there that doesn't have the depth at center that the Jets have. Right? They'd probably be like, yeah, fuck it for the rest of this year.
Does it really feel like depth right now, though?
Yeah, it really doesn't. Like. He's done nothing to jump off the page at all, you know?
No. He's been okay on the PK, but what are you going to do?
I feel we have a lot of, like, PK defense kind of forwards, you know? Like, we have a lot of those guys.
I wish we had a PK on our defense.
Well, yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Bufflin, are we... is he worth the 7.6 that he's getting so far in 10 games?
I have no issue with Bufflin.
Yeah. I have no issue with his game. I think he's trying to do a little bit too much, trying to overcompensate, or he did for the first little while. He's been better of late. Mm-hmm. But Bufflin's Bufflin. We know what we have with Bufflin, and he's dynamic. There's nobody in the league that can give you what Dustin Bufflin does at all. Right? And I just think he's trying to do too much at times, especially with you know the fact that we don't have a key guy up in the top four. But here's what he is. He's worth his money. He'll be all right. He'll have a good year.
Do we think that today's game is the start of establishing that Hellebuck is our number one goaltender? For those who don't know, Hutchinson got the start for the second game out in a row because he had a shutout in the last game, and I guess they didn't have time to practice or plan with the way the schedule worked. And then he got scored on three times, and they put Hellebuck in.
So were they bad goals, guys? I didn't see them.
No, not. I mean, I wouldn't put them on Hutch.
There was nothing terrible, but a lot of people don't understand why Hellebuck didn't start today. Like they've been doing the rotation since the start of the season, and Hellebuck was great. Like the last game he played, so I don't know. I think it caught a lot of people off guard when it was Hutch today for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a little surprised too.
Yeah, but if it was the other way around and Hutch had the start and had the one goal against and it was Hellebuck who had the shutout on Friday, would anybody question the fact that Hellebuck would be in that?
Yeah. Hutch played great in that shutout. Like, he was great. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
He saved that game. Like, we wouldn't be wondering if it was Hellebuck who got the shutout because we pretty much anointed Hellebuck as a starter, right, based on what Hutch was at the end of that playoff year and what he was last year, right? So I don't know if coaching sees it that way. I mean, how do you expect coaching to see it that way, that Hellebuck's a starter when they've seen Pavlik as a starter for the last 5 years?
#FreePav.
Yeah, we were talking shit about Mickey Moose a little earlier, but did everyone see the clip where he slapped that sign out of the kid's hands?
That was amazing.
Just for those that don't know, at the Moose game earlier this week, I guess two fans had signs that basically said "Free Pav."
#FreePav.
And then
One guy had "Free Pavs," and the other guy had "Free Pav."
I wish he was free. He was free when he was waived.
Yeah.
I quoted
their tweet and I said, I don't think Tulsa has any openings though.
and then Mickey Moose, there's a clip where he's sitting by those fans and they hold up the signs and he fucking smacks them out of their hands.
Okay, maybe I like Mickey Moose now.
I wonder if he's going to get a talking to. Like, that's not representing the brand. Yeah. All that well. Any other takes from early on in the season in general with players or anything? Like the power play's still been right? Like special teams aren't much better. I thought they were like I heard they were like second to last in the league for power play. I can look that up.
Power
I don't know issue.
With their power play?
No, in general with the team. I mean, we've talked about for years that we want this team to go young and see what the young guys are, and that's where we are right now, you know.
Yeah, I'm
except
good with
Thorber,
that.
You know. Like,
well, I'm good with that. I just don't see why Thorber needs to be in the lineup.
It's unbelievable. I don't even like. We even Danault there is an easy upgrade, you know.
By the way, the Jets are 25th in the league with a 12.5% conversion rate on the power play. On the penalty kill, they are 19th, so better than last. 78.8%. So combined, again, that number that you want to see close to 100 is about 91.
Wow.
They're better. They're better, I guess. But
no, that,
not worrying too much.
Well, I'm just worried about the deployment, and they're gonna throw Lowry on that first unit forever. Well,
how long is Lowry going to be in front of the net? That's a big question, right?
Well, and it doesn't make sense to me. Put Buffalo.
He's got one goal. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anything else before we go to Ask the Superfans? There weren't many today.
There's some from earlier in the week, though, I think.
Hopefully Lowry can play on the power play in Vegas.
He might be the one to go,
be in
right?
front of their net. That's who I'm thinking they take.
You think so?
Yeah.
They love that kid, though.
All right.
They love that kid.
We got some Ask the Superfans, some hung over from our mini cast earlier this past week and, some from today. Winnipeg Jest, who's that?
Did that guy used to be on this podcast?
Does the team know that he's got this or should I go and tattle?
You should send an email.
Winnipeg Jest. I don't know. Is the logo his avatar though? Winnipeg
yes.
Jest?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
At
a strongly worded letter needs to be written.
That's not the same guy though. It's not the same guy.
So his question or her question is, what did Noel do better than Maurice? What does Maurice do better than Noel?
Well, for sure,
Noel's got better press conferences,
better suits,
better one-liners. He had that one really wicked vest that he wore, too. I don't know if you guys remember that.
He had better feuds with his young players. Noel did.
Yeah. I think he had better looking glasses, too. He pulled off Dockers with runners a lot better than Paul Maurice does.
Sam Melnick at Trouble Melnick asked, how many points/how good will Armia have to be to consider protecting for the Vegas draft? I mean, right
that's now, it's a little early.
You know, if they end up doing 4-4, Armia is not going to be protected, right?
No, yeah, for sure not.
So would we lose? Who would we lose? Because we only lose one.
Well, let's say that it's 4-4. Like, let's say they sign Trouba, or they trade him for a defenseman that they have to protect, and then it's 4-4. So up front, they're gonna protect who? They're gonna protect Wheeler. They're gonna protect Scheifele. They're gonna protect
Perreault,
and they're gonna protect Little.
Are they gonna protect Little with 1 year left on his contract?
Yeah.
So
that's the question.
His trade value.
But he might be the one, right? Maybe that's the one that can be pushed if Armia or some other forward starts kind of making that case with their play, right?
I think there's kind of a forward spot to be won yet in terms of, you know, somebody being protected. Like, I don't think they're sure on that last forward yet.
I don't think so either. And I don't think like Brian Little isn't one of those guys that you think that they would maybe make a run at re-signing after the fact, right?
Yeah, so I don't know.
If he's, and you know what, with the youth coming up the middle, you know, maybe he's more expendable than an Armia would be.
That's why I suggested maybe Roslovic is kind of like, they could have sent him back to junior, but they put him in the A to develop him, you know, like maybe they're looking ahead there.
Well, yeah, they're looking at grooming him for sure, because he could have went to London.
Right.
And not, they're burning a year of his ELC for a reason, right?
Right, exactly.
They're sold on him somewhere down the line. So that depth in the middle that the Jets have, especially with young depth at the middle, would make Brian Little expendable to me. You know, Brian Little's not a centerman of the future. And you know what? The next year after this expansion draft, it will be his last year of his contract. So
yeah,
if it's a lesser of two evils, I'm pretty sure they could stomach losing Brian Little than an Armia who is younger and who they have another RFA contract with, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question they'd rather keep Armia. But who knows? There's a whole year that, you know, like we're 9 games in. You know, lots can happen. But I think Roslovic there is, that's, like you said, there's a reason he signed at 19 and playing in the A, you know? Like they could have sent him to junior easily.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the teams don't like to burn ELCs, especially on somebody with potential, right?
Right.
One thing with Armia, too, I mean, when we talk, I mean, his gameplay has been really good. And when we talk about points, like, let's calm down a little bit. He's got 3 points in 8 games.
Yeah, he's like, a middle six forward.
Like, you know, 30 points is nothing to sneeze at for sure, but, like, that's what he's on pace for right now.
But in this new evolving NHL, he's a very, 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 very good asset to have.
For sure.
You know, he's fast and he's big. And that's how you want to build your team up front right now. That's the look of the new NHL now. Like that, this next phase now is quick and hard up front. And that's the way people want to play now, right? So that's the way this NHL is going to be. Yeah. Pittsburgh laid down the model last year, right? So you know, and everywhere down the line, every team is getting younger and quicker up front, right? So.
TJ at Winnipeg TJ Ross asked, is it you that has Derek Carr, Pappy?
Yeah.
What were you thinking sitting him today? What, did he throw 500 yards and 3 touchdowns?
Fuck, did I think he was going to do that? Yeah, I don't know. That's my problem with having 2 fucking quarterbacks, man. I don't know. I even tried to trade him this morning. I tried to trade him for...
Try to trade him now.
Value maybe I'll get more value, yeah. It was dumb. He's kind of hot and cold. Hot and cold.
Oh, he's been fine. I would keep him as my only quarterback. Who's your other quarterback?
Andrew Luck.
See, and Carr's been better this year.
He's been better. He's been more risk reward. Like he's rewarded more. But Luck's been consistent as far as point level. He's, you know, the one time I put Derek Carr in there. One time I benched Derek Carr for Andrew Luck, and Andrew Luck outperformed Derek Carr. It's kind of a decision that I'm an idiot for having to make every week.
I would try to trade Luck, because you might get more trade value for Luck.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine with Carr. But that's, I mean, I lost my week this week, so who am I to give advice?
Well, I lost too. I lost, and I had 75 freaking points on my bench. So
nice.
Go figure it.
You're a good GM too.
Oh, fuck. Overthink it. I've been overthinking it this year.
One question from at Jojo Brownie 57, Chevy the Goon. He asked a few. He asked the Las Vegas winning the lottery question. He also asked, will Winnipeg ever get a good GM?
We have the best GM. Yes, talking about
Team Chevy.
No mistakes.
None
Chevy
at all.
Knows.
Patience. Draft
only,
and develop.
Only GM that drafts.
He's hashtag draft and develop and then trade.
And keep drafting.
And, his player-for-player trades have worked out. So
The ones that he's been forced into, yes.
You mean Tangredi?
Was that a player-for-player?
No, it was a draft pick for player trade.
Remember when he traded for what's-his-name?
Oh, Tangredi?
Tangredi was for Burley, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for Budaj.
Was it for Budaj?
Yeah, he traded Tangredi and he brought in Budaj, right? And then and people lost their shit. Like that's how he started.
And it was Ponikarowski for Tangredi.
Yeah, that was a good trade.
They signed
Ponikarovsky. He played for 12 games. I remember going to World Sports in Winnipeg, and they were selling Ponikarovsky jerseys. It's like to celebrate his dozen games with the Jets. Back when we were signing Leafs, right, we had Wellwood, Andropov, Ponikarovsky. Yeah, it was our old Leafs. It was great. That's actually all the Ask the Superfans for today, unless I missed something. I don't think I did, though.
I think you did.
You think I did? I'm not seeing anything. I clicked on the hashtag. Isn't that how it's supposed to work?
I think so, man.
Let me click on latest to see. No. Oh, wait. What's this? Oh, this. Well, our pal JoJo Brownie sent in a whole bunch, right?
No, that was after he trolled you, remember?
Yes, that's right. Anyways, we've addressed most of this stuff. So, before we're actually right at an hour. So before we, sign off, anything anyone wants to say for all our pals out there? No?
Yeah, that was great, DJ Biff.
Yeah, thanks for having me out, guys. Anytime.
Where can we see you?
Talking Jets.
Where can we see you do the, like, your stuff, your DJ stuff?
I don't DJ as much now as I used to. I used to do more club stuff. Now it's mostly just social stuff, but I still fill in sometimes at the Palomino Club.
World famous, like, Palomino Club.
That's right.
You play any Darude? What's that? Or
the Sandstorm.
Sandstorm.
No. I was there for a couple of years and I just kind of took a backseat. Now I got a couple kids and a family, so just kind of fill in whenever they need somebody to, you know, for a night or whatever. So it works for me. So
you'll have to say hi to Scott and Lisa for me.
Good friends with Scotty and Lisa for sure. They're the best.
I went to a wedding yesterday.
Yeah. I enjoyed the live tweeting of the wedding there.
And, the DJ played Gangnam Style. It was like,
nice.
Now that being said, it was probably like, Pappy, this would have been your people, right? It was like 75%, from over there in good old Asia at this wedding. So,
wait.
It was great.
Lots of line dancing.
You've done a few Filipino functions there, DJ Biffett.
I have done quite a few, yeah.
those Filipina ladies love to line dance.
Brian, my problem is you list sometimes to play,
but you know what my problem with Filipinos who line dance, you know, when a line dance comes on and it's a country line dance, just get the shit right. They do the boot scoot boogie.
Yeah.
Well, they do it to Achy Breaky Heart, and that's just plain wrong. That's wrong.
They're fun though.
I love how you like you're Filipino, but deep down you've got the heart of a Winnipegger. That's that's awesome. All right, well, I guess that's it for us. We're going to try to do one more quick mini-cast on maybe Tuesday after the game. After that, me and Brian are out of town. Brian and Alan in Detroit. This coming Friday, party time.
Yep.
Yeah, we're both going to the Jets and Wings game. I'm going to are you still going to the Michigan game, the football game?
I am.
I'm trying to find a decent price ticket, but I haven't yet, so I hope to do it. But I will be going on Saturday night to the Flint Firebirds game.
Are you guys meeting for the first time at the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember when we first met Al?
Yeah, the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jets game. You got a Jets dog and you tweeted, I was like, where are you sitting? And you're like, I'm in this section. And you got the section wrong?
Yeah, I did.
You're like, look for the bald-headed Filipino guy. And I'm like, well, that's an easy spot. And then you're nowhere to be found.
And that, you know, the super fan connection there is I got that ticket from Arby. That was Arby's seat that I was in.
That's crazy.
Only person I've ever met is Carlo a few times.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. I never get invited to these get-togethers and functions, you know.
It's only been like
you're invited to the Jets Batman party.
I got invited to the podcast now, so that's good.
Okay, that's the only party. In now. That's the only party you need. So at AIH Superfans is the handle, and go to arcticicehockey.com for all your Winnipeg Jets news and notes. Let's go around the horn. By the way, I'm gonna put in music after we talk here, so we're just gonna end cold. My name is Alan on Twitter. Slip with five eyes or slip.
Yeah, this is Big Poppy Pig City.
I'm Brian, and you can find me at Brian from AIH.
And I'm Ryan. You can find me at DJ_Biff_WPG.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for joining us, Ryan. And we'll see you all out there in Twitter and Jetsland in a week or so. Bye.